Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier. Game on. Rugby.
Right, we're going to stick with rugby. Earlier on today, because we were dealing with the Japanese time, Conor O'Shea was very, very kind and he gave us some time to chat about his World Cup experience with Italy and also about their upcoming game against the All Blacks. Let's hear from him.
Game on, rugby.
Conor, how are things going over there?
Yeah, not bad. You know, obviously, been a long time away now at this stage, and we had a good start to the tournament and a disappointing, you know, just nothing went right for us against the Springboks last weekend. But, you know, just settling down now and hoping this typhoon passes us by and we actually get the chance to play this weekend. You know, I think everyone's on weather watch at the moment.
So how likely is it, do you think, that you will get to play as scheduled?
I mean, obviously, everyone's pretty hopeful. You know, there's been a few warnings through the last few weeks, and things have kind of eventuated away from. You know, the weather is pretty difficult. We're just preparing as if everything's fine, everything's okay, and getting ready to pretty formidable challenge. You know, having scored 14 tries in our first two games, and then you know we came up against the Box in, you know, pretty ruthless form, and they are in you know, a physical group, and having a red card at the start of the second half, and never easy. But the All Blacks are, I still think, the team to beat in this competition. And we've got a few moving parts. We lost four props through injury and through suspension, and rightly so. I mean, it was just stupidity what they did on the pitch. But it's really put us up against the eight ball. We've got two young props just flown out, so 20 and 21 year olds. So it'll be a baptism of fire for them.
Just you mentioned how difficult the loss was, Conor, and I know you're at a World Cup, and like, this is what players will have wanted to be in for their whole lives. But is it difficult now to kind of get up again for the challenge of the All Blacks?
No, not at all. I mean, it's what I said to the guys in the dressing room straight after. We're realistic, and we look at the game, and you know, obviously the scoreline was difficult to take. But when you could see the red card at the start of the second half, I think you look at the All Blacks conceded 46 points to Australia when Scott Parrott got sent off. You could see the same when Argentina lost their player. You just can't play at this level with 14 men, and especially against good sides. But as you said, you work your whole life, and we knew coming here, Canada and Namibia, you qualify for the next World Cup. Well, we've done that comfortably. The next challenge was to see what we could. And the frustration is we never got to ask a question of the Springboks because of what happened. You know, 17-3, the red card happened 5 yards from the line when, you know, arguably we were about to score. And, you know, the games, I'm not saying you win, they can become different. But straight after the game, I said to the guys, this is what you work for. You have responsibility the whole time. Yeah, mathematically, we're not out of the competition, you know. But the realism is you concentrate on your performance. And you're playing the equivalent of the Brazil of football. When you play against the All Blacks, it is the greatest side in the world, and it's a responsibility and an honour to play them. So we're going to go out and give our best. And you know, the last games potentially for people like Sergio Parisse and Ali Zani and Leo Geraldini. So you play for different motives and different reasons, and there'll be no problems getting the guys up for it.
And what about you, Conor? You mentioned it's potentially the last game for some of those players. Will it be potentially your last game with the Italian team?
No, not quite rid of me yet. No, you know, they spoke to me last June about, you know, signing on for another 4 years, and which is great. And I said, listen, can we just wait until after the World Cup and you go off and get the, you know, have contingencies, and we'll talk about it after the World Cup. It's great that they want me to stay on, but there are a lot of things that I have to consider as well. And it wasn't really the time to be thinking about it over the summer. I just wanted to focus in this World Cup. And, you know, we're pretty excited going into that Springboks game. And, you know, as I said, things, you know, the first scrum of the game, we lose our tight head prop. The third scrum of the game, we lose our next tight head prop. And then you lose a red card prop. It really was just tough to take. But they are an outstanding side. And I think looking further ahead to the competition, and you know, you have to be unbelievably physical. Even watching Wales Fiji last night, you know, tonight, is the physicality of the game. And it's certainly difficult. We played two games in 4 days at the start of the competition, and we had to travel nearly one whole day in between, which allowed us very little time to recover. And for a lot of teams, that it's a mental and emotional challenge as well. I've certainly learned a lot by being here at this at a World Cup and being together for long periods of time, not really been able to escape the hotel. Yes, you can, and people see the Instagram shots and the Twitter shots and the lovely feeds on, you know, when the Irish rugby will put the guys out playing and been out around town. But the reality is you don't get much escape. And how you deal with that is very important, because you get emotional highs and emotional lows within the tournament. It's like living with your family for 5 months in a hotel. It's effectively, that's what you're doing, is, you know, you have great times together, but you have tough times together. You live the things that are going on in the background of, you know, whether it be, you know, the birth of children, death of parents, illnesses, or, you know, all these things that are happening within the dynamic of the group, as well as the highs and lows of a game. So it's fascinating. It's been incredible, really, so far. And you know, as we said, we've got the one more game to go, but we're looking at it as not one our last game. We're looking at it as the next challenge, and what will be will be. And if the storm comes in, God knows what sort of match it could be, and you just never know. So you know, we'll prepare, look forward to it, and there's so many talked about the. I think we had 17 of our 23 in the first game of this World Cup play their first World Cup match. We have so many young guys who are going to learn so much from this. I mean, you look at the likes of Jake Pelledri, Bram Steyn, Seb Negri, Federico Ruzza, David Ceci, Matteo Menozzi. They're just going to become so much better for this, and they're good rugby players. So that's part of the journey.
Conor, like, obviously here at home, the Ireland rugby team is completely under the microscope, and they've been analysed to death, and the conditions and the struggles with the conditions and the injuries and everything has been analysed to death. But you're over there. Why do you think maybe that we haven't hit the highs that we were expecting, just as from the Irish national team point of view?
It's impossible to say. And, you know, 12-3 or 12-0 or whatever it was in that game against Japan, I thought they were going to, you know, come away with it. And you have to take conditions into account, which are going to get easier, and they are getting easier, typhoon apart, as the tournament is going on. So you're not going to have that energy sapping. And I know I'm old and unfit, but I had a 30-second differential in terms of time per kilometre and little runs I do between one day and the next, purely because of heat. Now, I'm not fit, so I can't be a good judge, but I just felt so bad. It has an effect on the jersey, an effect on the ball, but it's going to get less and less. And it's not about, you know, going back to the old Italian football teams when they used to squeak their way out of groups in football World Cups and come good in the end. And the Irish team has that capability, and it's got the physicality to match a Springbok team. You know what's coming when you play the Springboks. If it eventuates, it's the Springboks. It'll be titanic. But Ireland have the physical capability to take them on. And there are opportunities in that Springbok defence. And if people even bother to watch our game back properly, they'd see two or three chances we have, which would bring a different dynamic mentally to a game. You know, I think Ireland probably have the armoury with Johnny. And if they get Robbie Henshaw back and Jacob Stockdale in the game, everyone fit, anything can happen, and board changes, as we've seen, very quickly.
Absolutely. Look, Conor, thanks a million, and we'll wish you the best of luck against the All Blacks, and we look forward to following your future moves as well.
Cheers. Thank you very much. Take care.
So that was Conor O'Shea there speaking to me earlier from his base in Japan. Donica, I think if we just look back over his tenure as the Italian manager, now he said he hasn't decided whether he's going to stay or go yet. Would you describe it as a success?
It's very hard to judge on results, and he probably won't reap the rewards of the systems he's put in place. But he's an incredible rugby man. He's a guy you would love to play for. You hear him there speaking about family, everything, how important it is. But I just think you chat to the Harlequins lads that worked under him, and you see what he's done with Italy, and everyone looks at the results, but what he's done with Benetton, improving, putting a structure in place, the likes of Steve Aboud looking after their academy. He's put proper structures in place for them to push on and get better. And like, it's even disappointing for him to have to say that they have to qualify for the next World Cup. But he names the players there that are gaining experience, and he's looking to probably make it special in time. I hope he's given the opportunity, or that he still wants to, but I think there's guys that put down a foundation rock, and that's definitely what Conor O'Shea has done. I just, he's a rugby man. Like, you even hear it calling out his own players for saying that not good enough, you know.
Yeah, we actually had a text in from Keith into 51552, and he said, fair play to Conor for calling his own players out for stupidity when many coaches would defend players just to be seen as loyal. I really admired that honesty, and that came across.
And do you know what? It's contagious. By Conor O'Shea doing that, you see the Canadian player that was red carded walking in to the South African dressing room and apologising to him. You need rugby people to show the way, and that's what Conor O'Shea did in that moment. He, like, everyone knew it. Sports can get professional and they can lose their way a bit, but you need guardians, and he's certainly that. And like, you just look at his brother, Donal O'Shea. Like, the O'Sheas, they don't have jobs, they have vocations. Like, he's assigned himself to making Ireland healthier and well. Conor's the exact same about rugby. Wherever he goes, he wants it to improve, he wants it to get better. And it certainly is under him, but it's difficult because all people judge Italy on at the moment is, and rightly so, Six Nations and Rugby World Cup, and they have been poor over the last while in Six Nations, and everyone, and myself included, are getting frustrated with them, because you're there, come on, we need more competitive games, and I think that will come as a result of what he's doing there.
He was so disappointed after that loss to South Africa. We actually played him here on Game On. Just, he felt they never got a chance to have a go at them properly because they were down a player, so after such a short period of time.
But you got a great nugget out of him, and I hope, like, we heard Joe Schmidt saying that he had already spoken to Gregor Townsend. I hope he's on the phone to Conor O'Shea, and he's such a loyal Irishman that he would share everything with him. Like, you hear him saying, and he's a good guy for a chip on his shoulder as well. If anyone could bother to look at our tapes, have no doubting everyone's looking at his tapes. It was unfortunate that they lost. Like, going out and losing your tight heads, honestly, you haven't got a hope. And I think he makes some interesting points about when you go down to 14 men in rugby, and I think it's probably something we all agree we want sanctions and red cards are right till behaviours change. Personally, myself, I would have loved if it would have come in earlier so that players' behaviours would have been different in this World Cup. But I think we need something. We need something. Like, rugby isn't like the Tipperary hurlers. If you go down to 14 men, you might as well clap in the opposition. It's all over. You just can't compete with how physical the game has gone to be down a man. So I wonder, is there something in it that maybe a different colour card, that player is off the pitch, you go without a player for 15 minutes, and then there's a sub that has to come on for that player? Because when you're down to 14, I promise you, you might as well put on houses under the hammer, because it's over.
They could look at the GAA and bring in the black card. Yeah. He seemed quite positive as well about Ireland's chances going forward if they look at his game against South Africa, if they get them. Would you be as positive?
Yeah, I would. The only thing is, I don't think we'll get South Africa. I think we'll get New Zealand. But I think he'd still be worth a shout after their match this weekend. Of course, he hasn't got a full deck in terms of how he can challenge them. But you just, if you listen to him, you know they're going to throw something down. You know it's a freebie. You know that they're going to give it their all. And he's mentioning the likes of Parise, their last game, that he will tap into that emotional want. The only thing with the Italians is sometimes they can go beyond it, and we used to always find it playing Italy, the way to break them was 3-6-9 on the scoreboard. Hopefully someone gets a lucky break, you get a try, and just all of a sudden you can feel them nearly give up. And I think hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully they can be in the game. But look, you can't, and he says it himself, you can't compare with New Zealand at the moment with Italy. I don't think they can, but they've been handed really tough. He mentioned it there about their travel, 4-day turnarounds. People don't take into account travel days are I know this sounds terrible, but they are stressful for players. You know, like, it isn't all easy, Marie, sipping coffees in the airport and the trains.
But he said it's like five months. Imagine living in a hotel with just your family or like your close friends, and there's just pretty much no escape.
Yeah. And like, I've been there myself. I remember we were in France in 07, and I don't want to talk about it anymore after this, but I remember being on the bus and we were going to some vineyard. And I remember just going, no, and just walking off the bus. I was there, no, I'm not doing this. And you just need a bit of space. And what's good to be around a group of lads is that's actually, they see that vulnerability and they slag and make fun of it. And Dunners is on the edge. Let's make sure we, make it tough for him. But stuff like that as well, it is a goldfish bowl. And I like what he's actually saying. There is so much pushed out of the lads having the crack. Sometimes it's not all that. You know, you chat to people, they're like, you're so lucky, off to Paris this weekend, Rome. You're there, it's a hotel room, and I'll see none of it, unless you're Jordan Murphy. Jordan Murphy used to always jump on an open-top bus. That was his thing. He'd make sure he'd see the sights and take it in, and all the rest of us kind of slag him, but at least everywhere we went, he... at least saw something of it.
Before we move on from Italy and Conor O'Shea, where could you see him going next if he does leave his job with Italian rugby? He hasn't confirmed that he has yet.
I know. Any Premiership club would bite their arm off for him. I think he'd be a brilliant person to have nearly up top in an organisation to run, to see the overall running of it. I think that's his point of difference. He surrounds himself with good coaching. I think it must be tough, and it's, you know, for bringing up a family there and being on the road and stuff like that. So you'd like him to you know, get settled somewhere that his family are happy. But I know any club in the Premiership, maybe with the exception of Saracens, would throw their director of rugby out the door and get him in, because he is he's something special.
Okay, well, we got a text in to 51552 from Paul in Sligo. It's for Dunica. He has two questions. The first one is, why are so many Irish players sustaining soft tissue injuries? Is it due to the training methods? That's the first bit.
Soft tissue injuries, you always, as a player, you put them on yourself. So you, if you can live with rolling your ankle or the cartilage in your knee and stuff like that, collision injuries you can deal with. But soft tissue injury judges good pros. So do you look after your body? Do you rest the right amount? Do you recover properly? But just with this Irish team, there's been too many, and there's been too many good pros that are picking up soft tissue injuries. So then as a player, you would question maybe a training program. Maybe there's a part of their, even their strength and conditioning program that hasn't suited for this part. And the thing is, maybe one in isolation, you would blame that professional. You'd say, you know, are you doing all your recovery? You're doing everything you can. But when there's an awful lot of them, and when there's the likes of Keith Earls, the best pro you'd ever come across, when they're picking up soft tissue, you got a question. And you just hope the playing group is challenging every program. Like, the best thing, and a thing I used to enjoy, is when a strength and conditioning program was handed out, straight back from the floor. Why? You know, and that's the kind of environment you want. You know, how's this going to make me a better player? How am I going to improve?
So do you think that there should be concerns then about the strength and conditioning? Because you mentioned yourself yesterday that England have 31 fit players, and, you know, Ireland have not near that, really.
Yeah, but I do think there's brilliant people around the environment to, and I'm not chatting about coaches, I'm chatting about doctors, strength and conditioning coaches. And the big thing, Marie, is to be able to pivot, to be able to move, to be able to say, we thought this might work, but this, and it can actually be something so small as in like hamstring concentric curls in your training program when it comes to a weights program. Something so small can just ripple on to an awful lot of guys. So it's having good players that question stuff.
Paul has another question for as well. He wants to know about the heavy defeats suffered by Namibia, Canada and Russia. What has been done for those countries and how can they be helped?
Not enough. Not enough's been done for them. The big thing they need is more games, Marie. You only improve by playing. And the big thing this World Cup, and we've spoke about it before, has lifted the, before we used to all chat about Northern Hemisphere versus Southern Hemisphere. Now we're chatting Tier 1 versus Tier 2. And what Tier 2 need is more games. They need the Tongas, the Samoans, the Canadas. They need people to play them more so that they can improve and get better, and they need more competitive matches. And I think, look, that's not only a concern for world rugby, but I think that's a concern for everyone, that they'd say, you know, one of our next year round, one of our autumn internationals, let it be one of them. Let it be Namibia. Like, you have, like, rugby men like Conor O'Shea, you have a duty of care to the game to make sure everyone improves. Now, this World Cup has shown improvement. We've seen, like, I agree, he's dead right. There has been disappointing results, but the gap is closing, and the one everyone goes back to, Japan versus Ireland. So, dry your eyes, mate.
Well, in just a few days, we are going to play Samoa, and it has turned out to be an absolutely huge game for Irish rugby. I mean, the thinking is that we should win. It probably won't be easy, but, like, does it have potential to be a banana skin?
Yeah, it does. Samoa are massively physical, and Marie, we spoke about it before. England have shown a kind of template to play against Ireland at the moment. Everyone kind of isn't competing with us at the breakdown. They're leaving our breakdowns off. So they have 15 men, and they probably have four in the backfield. So then they've 11 people in the defensive line ready to take us on. And I think just you would have seen it with Keith Earls in the Japan game. And England did it brilliantly well. There's a thing called, on a retreating kick, called a kick escort. But what's actually happening since that English game is it's nearly like a wall of defenders that are blocking Keith Earls, Conor Murray, Andrew Conway, Jacob Stockdale. They're actually being blocked from doing their jobs. So before it was a kick escort, now it's actually a wall that just doesn't allow these guys to do it. Ruby made the point, is this worth flagging with referees? Absolutely. If I was Joe Schmidt or Mervyn Murphy, I'd be cutting those bits and I'd be sending it to our referee for Saturday just to make sure. But Samoa are lethal when the game just breaks up. And I'll be honest, they could push for more if they got more time together. So they're a perfect example. But look, I think we should be good enough to kind of get the job done and push on.
Okay, well, we will have a team announcement tomorrow, so we will dissect then. But it's time for a quick break now.
Game on 2FM. Weekdays from 6.